I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 to 20 and 26. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she has made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. And the New Testament reading is from Luke 2, 41 to 52. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in a group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all the things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This ends the reading.
Our scripture this morning. Well, let's pray. Gracious and glorious God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. My rock and redeemer, amen. On Friday, I had to go up to San Francisco Theological Seminary in Marin County and had the privilege to meet with a colleague isn't the right word because he's a Pentecostal bishop. And you'll have to forgive me as I've tried to even like put context clues in Google to remember his name. And since I'm a cradle Presbyterian, you would think that I might know the Pentecostal bishops or be somewhat familiar. And the truth is, I'm not. But what he reminded me was this idea of baggage. And when I looked at our scripture reading this morning, not this morning, but for this morning, and and took note of Samuel, whose story I love, with his mother Hannah, and then Mary, and you see the parallels between them. You know, baggage holds us down, obviously, but I would say that baggage, when we think about Christ going for the meek and the lowly, oftentimes we think about material possessions, which is true. You know, those who are poor, those who are suffering, and some of us might be those people. I also think about that which we hold on to that holds us down, that nobody else can take from us but ourselves and God. And so that's what I mean this morning when I'm talking about baggage. Baggage can make you low. Actually, that's all it is. It's only designed, it can only weigh you down. It's not designed to lift you up. It's designed to be a load to carry. It is meant for you to hold and to, you have to hold on to it if you have it. If you give it to somebody, then they have it. Baggage is a problem. And what I love about these stories of both Samuel and Jesus as boys is Jesus actually follows Samuel's story. So Hannah also has a hymn of praise similar to Mary's Magnificat. Hannah also gives Samuel to Eli the priest, as Mary, in a sense, gives Christ, or Christ is given to Mary, but Christ is not Mary's, right? So both of these women who were barren, Hannah tried and was not able, and of course Mary, God did the work, right? They both have sons dedicated fully to the life of God and Christ, and both sons reside or find peace in the temple. And so, to me, what does it look like to have peace in this midst of chaos? What does it look like to have peace with that which is holding us back? What does it look like to have peace with that which is keeping us down? And how do we do this without getting too caught up? And so, Hannah has a song. She has Samuel, gives Samuel to the temple. Mary has a song, has Jesus, loses Jesus, and finds him 3 days later, where? At a temple, right? And the 3 days are important. I don't think those 3 days are a coincidence. As Christians, we love 3 days because it reminds us of the resurrection, right? And so in this story of these boys teaching in the temple, I think it's important to see how the parents gave their children to God. There's a sense of lack of ownership here that's very clear between Hannah and between Mary, that both of these women, who both in their hymns and their songs sing this praise of deliverance from God, this praise of the lowly being brought up and the rich and the powerful being brought down, they both do this act of consecration with their own children. And I think when we're talking about letting go of baggage into 2019, for your New Year's resolution, what I'm thinking, you know, we all have our resolutions. Oftentimes they're pretty surface level, but will have some effect in our lives. To me, New Year's resolutions reminds me of Lent in some ways. Like, what am I gonna give up to better myself? And I always, when I choose chocolate and I forget, And then I realized that probably wasn't what Christ was talking about, right? Or, you know, for some people it's Starbucks. Like, what is your vice, right? But I thought about, you know, think of baggage this year, which all of us have. We all do. What would it look like to treat that baggage like a Samuel or like a Christ child and consecrate it? Does that make sense? So what would it look like? What would your New Year's resolutions look like instead of it being something surface level, but it was actually an act of consecration to live into your New Year's resolution, which means an act of making your resolutions sacred and holy, which means it's an act of spiritual discipline so that way you can be the person you already know you are, right? I think oftentimes I even talk about the person we wish to become. But the truth is, yes, you wish to become this, but in order to become some degree, you have to own it and just do it, right? And I think that's what a New Year's resolution is. It's owning it. It's consecrating the better that you want to see in this world. So how does that work with Christmas? Well, since we're Christians, we know commercial Christmas is one day a year, but we have how many days? Who remembers the song? How many days of Christmas? Yes, we have 12 days, y'all. Christmastide is a while, right? And so we have 12 days to live into this hope of the Christ child. We have 12 days to live into this messianic freedom. And so last week, when I was up here, we talked about what does your Messiah look like? What does your hope look like? And so I will build on that this Sunday and say, I'm assuming you've given a week to at least think about that or to live in it in some way, even if you haven't strictly identified it. And in order to live into that hope into 2019, what does that consecration of that hope now look like? For those of you who've been churched as a child or exposed to methods and practices and ways of thinking, your parents who brought you here, or for some cases, you brought you here, you consecrated yourself, or they consecrated you. When we think of, you know, when we think of our baptismal vows, right? The community takes ownership of you. The community raises and rears you. You, in your baptism, consecrated your life to Christ, right? And so this is, think about your New Year's resolution as a refreshment of your baptismal vows, if that's helpful. And knowing that you're not doing this work alone, but the community is with you. And I know I say community in a Sunday that is sparse, but when you know you leave these doors, the koinonia is big. So the ecclesia gives us a little context, but the koinonia is all around. The koinonia is just Christians when two or three are gathered, right? Consecration. Christ, the Messiah, will free you from your baggage. And forgetting or not believing in this transformative change, which I think is the important part in our Lucan passage today with Mary and Joseph. They thought that Jesus was going with the caravan and with Ken 3 days, you know, and then just, where's my baby boy? What happened to him? Right? And he's in the temple teaching and preaching and also asking questions and listening. I think all too often we think of Jesus just talking at people and forget that God listens, and God in human form listens, and the power of the listening ear is a divine thing, and it is beautiful, and it is needed in order for transformative change, right? So our trip to Arizona coming up, that is a trip of listening. Our adult studies are both listening and talking and getting to know one another. And listening also requires transformative change. And so for those of you who might not know, what is your hope? What is Christ embodied for the world for you this Christmas season? What does it feel like when you feel love? That may be easier. Let's go to the heart stuff, because sometimes, myself included, we can get too heady as presbies. But what does it feel like when you feel loved? And how do you get to that space? What does it feel like when you feel good and you're not harming another human being? Crucial. If you feel good and harm another human being and that feels good, come talk to me. We got some work to do, right? But when you're feeling good, it's, you know, it's hard to make somebody to have a bad day. Kindness costs you nothing. Even when you're not feeling it, even, you know, we all have our curmudgeon-y days. What did kindness cost you? Kindness, which for me is not even net neutral. It's a positive. It's just always positive, right? And so it is easy to hold on to our baggage. And in some cases with our baggage, we know nothing but, right? In some cases, our baggage has been for several years. In some cases, it has to do with our relationship with our families, with our friends, with our workplace. And for some of us, this is baggage of memories that have held us back and haunted us, right? But at some point, in order to feel lighter, we've got to take off the load. And going into 2019, with everything going on in the world, and we all know there's plenty, our work is most definitely cut out for us. But I don't think God wants us to enter into 2018 with more baggage. How else do we live a better life? How else do we live in that hope, those good feelings of Christmastide, which were feelings of, you know, we chose to be with family. We chose to cook all our favorite foods. We made these very specific and deliberate efforts in our life. And what I love about commercial Christmas is that it proves Jesus is the reason for the season. In this sense, it proves that people can choose to come together and make a change and transformative hope, even if it's for a day. And so I want us to think about this not as just fluffy stuff in the air, but we've had enough Christmases in our lives, enough holiday seasons in our lives, where we have seen a good swath of folks come together under a pretext of feeling good, at the very least, feeling good and loving one another to create an environment of change. And that doesn't mean it's all kumbaya. Y'all know family's difficult sometimes, right? It doesn't mean everything is easy, but what it means is it's lighter. What it means is folks are coming together to do something better for themselves. I mean, raise your hand. How many folks this holiday season have felt a deep sense of love or belonging, just felt good about themselves? And it's okay if you haven't. I'm not doing this to call anybody out, but there's a good majority of hands, right? Because we've all cultivated the season to do that. And in some ways, we've all worked in community to make that happen, regardless of our specific beliefs, right? Regardless of, our particular ways we might like things done, right? Like, I have an aunt who very much likes her onions chopped a certain way, right? You don't chop the onions that way, she swears the dish doesn't taste the same. I'm like, it's still the dish, right? A good example of this, of consecration, is I was helping to teach a course at the seminary in the spring on LGBTQ inclusion. Actually, it was this fall. LGBTQ inclusion is on transgender inclusion. And there's a woman who's about 67 years old living out in the holler in Tennessee. And she's lived there the majority of her life, and she has she's part of a tiny congregation, about 30 folks. And while we're talking on this Zoom conference call, for those, it's like FaceTime, but it's a class and it's all on FaceTime, or something like that, Zoom, but to give you an idea of the platform. And she realized that the congregation that she was a part of, she was doing LGBTQ inclusion in this tiny little holler. And after about 2 years of doing this work with her beloved community that was aging, right, she realized because she is in such a tiny holler, the amount of work that she felt called to do, the amount of work that made her feel good, that did good, that transformed her life, she realized it had apexed, it had hit its peak. And the reason was because nobody moves in this tiny town, right? Because it's a holler. And so she's like, well, I can only push LGBTQ inclusion so far because it can only reach, it's just reached the same amount of folks, and there's not even queer folks coming into the community anymore, right? And so what she realized is she had to move. And she found that she had to move because she believed this call that she had in her life, and this woman's 67 years old, fantastic, identifies as a straight cis woman, cis meaning she identifies with the gender she was assigned at birth. And she said, this really is a ministry and call in my heart, so I need to move. So she moved 45 minutes away. She already planned it out. She told us this on the Zoom call, that she already got the new apartment, and, a week after the course was over, she would have moved. And she moved 45 minutes away, so that way she can go to a different church that she thought she could have some ground to cultivate and have these conversations that they wanted to have about LGBTQ inclusion as a part of a bigger town, so there actually were out-ish LGBTQ people around that she can minister to. But she could also go back to that church that she loved so much once a month and still love on them and still care for them. And she did this, and it transformed her life. And, it was a Zoom class. I wish I could keep in contact. I wish I could find out what happened. But I am willing to bet because of the spirit in which she changed and transformed her life and the decisions that she wanted to make because she felt her call. That was her messianic hope for 2018, and God bless her and help anybody who comes in her way for 2019, right? Of what she wanted to do. So that's a concrete example. So I leave you with this morning. What is it? What will transform or change your life, or have you identified in 2018 that you want to live into full manifestation in 2019? How will you let the Christ child talk to you? Speak with you, right? Hear from you. And how do you go about living it? Because we're Christians not because we believe in magic. We're Christians because we believe in the truth and the saving power of Jesus Christ, right? We've seen it transform our lives. And I've seen it transform your lives as your pastor in a brief period of time, and you all mine. And so this is what I leave you this morning on this very chill, very casual service of the end of the year. Is letting go of the baggage, consecrating your desires for 2019, and encouraging one another, lifting one another up to do so, because that is sacred work. It is. And I think at the end of the day, we'll all be a little better for it. We'll feel better. We'll feel lighter because we are. Amen.